You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Let's play pretend. Pretend it's 60 years ago, December 1959, and you're going downtown Detroit to do some holiday shopping on Woodward Avenue.
Here is the Pioneer Department Store that is now one of the largest in the country, where you could get anything from the furs you came to these shores for in the first place to 10,000 other items you never heard of.
Birthdays, parties, and proms were just some of the occasions which brought Detroit families downtown to shop, with the biggest crowds coming for the parade.
The sun is coming out. It's shining down brightly here on Woodward Avenue in Detroit, and here comes the J.L. Hudson Thanksgiving Day Parade.
We didn't start Christmas or even start shopping at Christmas time until Santa had arrived in the Hudson Parade. It was a treat to go down to see Santa.
This band has been featured for three consecutive years at the Detroit Lions football games at Tiger Stadium. Let's listen to it for a minute.
What was it about that downtown department store, a store like the Big Hudson's, that seems so magical? And why did these stores fade into oblivion? What does it say about the way we shop in 2019? Well, Michael Hauser here to talk about that. He's the author of Hudson's, Detroit's legendary department store. He's also the marketing manager for the Detroit Opera House. And Michael, you once worked for Hudson's?
I did. I worked for, well, under all three regimes, Hudson's, Marshall Field's, and Macy's.
Oh, you've been through it all. So here we are. It's December 1959. Walk me down Woodward Avenue. What will I see?
During the holidays, of course, all of the windows on Woodward Avenue would be animated, appealing to children's fantasies. You'd have a 9-story tree of lights on the Woodward Avenue facade of the building. The minute you came in, of course, you'd be greeted by elevator hostesses who could whisk you up to the 12th floor where Santa was ensconced, or you could go to 13 where all the restaurants were. There were also pop-up shops on some of the elevators, long before we knew what a pop-up shop was, of course. Mm. On the 12th floor, of course, you would be greeted by pixies who were Santa's helpers to whisk you through the magic forest on the way to see Santa. And then you could go into the auditorium. Each year, the auditorium had a different theme regarding the holidays. And then, of course, there was a Christmas carnival for the kids on the Farmer Street side of the 12th floor.
My goodness. Not to mention, you can't even count how many different products were for sale at that downtown Hudson's. And there were some other big, big stores, department stores, that Detroiters shopped at downtown. What were some of those?
Well, of course, Crowley's, which was on Gratiot. The other side of Hudson's, which also was a large department store that a lot of people loved. 1959 also would have been the last Christmas for Kearns, which was another large department store just south of Hudson's. People still today can meet under the Kearns clock right in front of One Campus Martius.
That's true. It's still there. For people who are too young to remember, that was kind of the big meeting place when you went downtown. I was one of those kids whose mom brought them downtown for the shopping. I remember vividly as a little kid walking in front of those incredibly decorated windows. And then there was always the chestnut man outside. He had his cart with hot steaming chestnuts for sale that you could munch as you walked around downtown. And then there were a lot of great stores like Grinnell's. I would always go buy sheet music because I played the piano. As a child, I felt like I was in like a Fred Astaire movie. It felt like big New York City.
It was. Besides the department stores, you had all the specialty stores, mm-hmm. the clothing stores, the jewelry stores, the shoe stores, and of course, the large dime stores like Kresge and Woolworth.
Yes, yes. You know, interesting, as you mentioned, the Santa land on the 12th floor at the downtown Hudson's. How many kids might go through that in a given holiday season?
In a given holiday season, over 200,000 children would sit on Santa's lap. They'd be lined up for several floors at a time, especially on the weekends. Now, of course, everybody thought that they were seeing the real Santa. But with that many children coming through, obviously, different partitions. On the weekends, there would be half a dozen Santas working.
Well, here's something that I think I remember, and tell me if I'm right, that there was a choice of Santas, that there would be an African-American Santa, there was an Hispanic Santa, and a Caucasian Santa.
Right. Hudson's was one of the first stores. This is about by 1970 or so. Hudson's was one of the first major stores in the country to offer you a choice of Santa.
And wasn't there some kind of an exposition area within the store?
Well, the auditorium, which, you know, for many, many years, when you stop and think about it, the auditorium was really sort of a precursor to a convention center. It was like a civic center of its time because you went there for fashion shows, flower shows, holiday shows, auto shows,
bridal
cat shows,
dog
shows, bridal shows. And you have to remember, too, Hudson's was the only department store to ever be involved with an automobile company, the Hudson Motor Car Company. And so the Hudson Motor Cars, when they were introduced each fall, were not introduced at, you know, in a setting like Cobo Center, or what we call TCF Center today, but on the selling floors of Hudson's.
Hudson's closed that downtown store in January of 1983, and then the building was imploded on October 24th, 1998. I remember covering that for TV. You can't blame that on online shopping. So what happened? Why did it go away?
Well, changing demographics, not as many people working downtown as there used to be. You know, the best year in sales for the downtown store was 1952. About $150 million in sales. And you put that into today's economy, you're really talking about $1 billion worth of sales out of just that store. But by 1982, the last full year of operation, that had dropped to about $40 million. And, you know, it was costing several million just to heat and air condition the building. I mean, they tried everything they could right up through the end, you know, consolidating floor space, adding special events. But with less people working downtown, less people coming downtown, you know, it just wasn't in the cards. It was one of the last big downtown stores, you know, in the country to actually still be open aside from, you know, New York, Chicago, and San Francisco.
And of course, Detroiters, Metro Detroiters had the malls. They ringed Metro Detroit's, you know, Northland, Eastland, Westland, Southland, Oakland Mall. And then in the late 70s, added in Fairlane, 12 Oaks, and Lakeside. And then, of course, there was Somerset Mall in Troy. That was a little different because it was high-end, Saks Fifth Avenue, Bonwit Teller. But those malls now, it's kind of interesting how, you know, history repeats itself. They're struggling, some of them.
Right. And it's not just internet shopping. Some of it is, you know, retail itself. Too many stores that are too much alike, selling the same merchandise, too many sales, too many coupons, too many savings passes, lack of customer service, you know, cutbacks and sales associates on the floor, lack of product knowledge because of no training. You know, it's a whole plethora of things that have contributed to where we're at today.
Walk us along Woodward now. So here we are 60 years later, and after many years of empty storefronts, Woodward is filling up again with what? Give us a kind of a sampling.
Well, it's interesting. And a lot of this, of course, is thanks to Bedrock.
Dan Gilbert, yeah.
Dan Gilbert. Where Kresge's was is Under Armour. Where Woolworth was is Nike. Where Moose Jaw is was Crosby Shoes. Where Warby Parker and Lululemon are were Chandler's Shoes. Where H&M is actually is three different buildings: Richmond Brothers Clothing, Grinnell Brothers, which you earlier mentioned, and then Bond Clothiers. All three buildings plus lower level.
Interesting.
So, and then where Wright K Jewelers was, of course, is John Varvatos.
Yes, and with a restaurant above him, yes.
Right, you've got niche retailing. H&M is really, I think, the game changer because it appeals to such a wide demographic, and it's also more popular priced.
And just briefly, how does Woodward Avenue, this arc we've talked about, how does it reflect the story of department stores around the country?
Well, there's not too many downtowns left where you really can experience what we had many moons ago. Obviously, New York, State Street in Chicago, Union Square in San Francisco, Downtown Crossing in Boston. That's really about it in terms of still having big downtown stores, a lot of special events to go along with it. I was just on State Street yesterday.
Yes.
And what used to be Marshall Field's, of course, is Macy's on State today.
Correct.
And it was a two-hour wait to get into the Walnut Room. There were people lined up for Holiday Lane, people lined up for Santa, people lined up, you know, to see all the animated windows. The store was, you know, beautifully decorated. It just gave you that feeling of, you know, what you grew up with, but it's still here.
Absolutely. Yes. Right. There we go. Everything old is new again, and people still crave that. Michael Hauser's book is Hudson's, Detroit's legendary department store. Thank you so much, Michael. It was great reliving those years with you.
Thank you, and happy holidays, everybody.